Blog Talk Radio.
Peace and blessings, my beloved brothers and sisters, family and friends. How are y'all doing? I have to say, please excuse me for yesterday. I got caught up in some things that I needed to take care of. Had to deal with some people that was in trouble. And I have to say, I love every minute of what God had me to do. I mean that with all of who I am. My beloved brothers and sisters, the next thing I have to talk about is, and I know that God had me talk about this because of the fact that he's saddened. Let's just say that he's saddened by so many of us having a hard time actually allowing ourselves the ability to just simply have faith in him. That's basically what it is. He said that we won't allow ourselves to have faith in him. He said that because we won't allow ourselves to have faith in him, that we won't allow ourselves the ability to get to know more about him. And by that I mean, in order for you to get to know him, or correction, in order for you to get to have faith in him, you got to get to know him. Meaning, let's say that for instance that you came home and the lights was out, the gas was out, and you got a notice on the door that says you have to evacuate this place tomorrow. And you get up in the morning, you already got these things on your mind. And as soon as you get up, you know that you have to move because they're going to come and move you. So you get ready to call your job to let them know that you're going to have to take that day off. And you call your job, and your job says, I'm sorry to inform you, but you were one of the people that were selected to be laid off. And let's say after you got that news, you called your girlfriend, your boyfriend, somebody you really love very much, to tell them about it. And they say, I don't care about what you're going through because I'm done. I'm finished with you. You know, I'm gone. Let's say all of that happened within a matter of 2 days. You come home, first you get the news, lights off, gas off, eviction notice, call your job, call the person you love the most, and God wants to know, who would you depend on then? Who will you call upon then? Will you have faith in him to the point to where you pack your stuff and you get up and leave and you tell the person who told you, don't call him no more, I don't want to have nothing to do with you, and you say, God bless you, I love you so very much, and you plan on paying the gas and the light bill so that when the time comes and you do have another place that you don't have to be concerned about that. I mean, let's say that you allowed yourself the ability to just say, you know what, it's going to be okay. It's going to be okay because my father told me he would never leave me nor forsake me. Let's say that you allowed yourself to have faith like that. That kind of faith that says, you know what, it's okay. It's really okay. Let's say that you don't get a job for a long period of time. You're going through a homeless shelters from one to the next. You know, many shelters allow you to stay there for 3 months, you know, to give you enough time to get yourself together, find a job and things of that nature. It's called regrouping, so to speak. And let's say that you go from shelter to shelter, you're eating food that you really don't like, and they eat, a lot of shelters right now are giving people a lot of pasta because pasta is basically the cheapest food you can get. So let's say that you're eating food that you really don't want, and you're going through these shelters from one to the next, and you're One might have bed bugs and one, the other one might be clean. You're going through whatever it is that you have to go through. It doesn't matter. And people picking on you and getting on your nerves, or you went and you got some clothes from whatever's giving clothes out, and finally you got the right fit. Not ill-fitted clothes. You got the right fit. So you sort of feel really good because you know that you can get up in the next morning, if God so allow you to, and take a shower to put on these clothes that finally fit. And let's say, during the course of the night, somebody came along and stole them. You're looking at yourself and you're saying, God, regardless to what, I still have clothes. God, regardless to what, I still have breath in my lungs. God, regardless to what, I'm going to be okay. But you know what happens? This is what happens. Unfortunately. This is unfortunately. Most people who go through the trials and tribulations in which they go through, if they don't end up getting on drugs or alcohol or using other temporary things for some form of release or escape, they find that they just simply give up. Just, I'm done. So what God did was he said, I'm going to use the weakest person to tell y'all about him being so strong, and I'm that weakest person, okay? And so I ask you to please do me a favor and pray for me. I'm saying that because of the fact that God literally is tired. He's going through a thing where he's looking and seeing that we're going through so many struggles of not allowing ourselves to be holy until he's using his weakest person to express how he feels. All right? Allow me to pray. Dear Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you and I love you for everything you do. I ask you to please forgive me for my sins. Please, Father God, forgive me for my sins. As I also ask you, Heavenly Father, to please check my heart. Anything that's not of you, take it away from me, Heavenly Father, because I want everything to be about you. And in every shape, fashion, or form, Heavenly Father, I will decrease so that you can increase, Father God. And I ask you, while you are increasing, also do healing. Bring about some comfort, Heavenly Father. Cause people to see that, Father God, that you want to have a personal relationship with them. Touch their hearts, Heavenly Father, their mind to be clear, allow their ears to be completely open for your voice. And I pray, Heavenly Father, that they become sensitive to the Holy Spirit so that they, Heavenly Father, allow you to touch them wholeheartedly. I love you, Father God, in Jesus' holy and precious name. Amen. I'm going to ask you, this actually is a recap of what we are left off in terms of people not allowing themselves to go through things. You know, I want you to do me a favor, okay? Turn your Bibles to 1 Peter. We're going to start at 4:12. 1 Peter 4:12. And the reason why I'm going here is because of the fact that, you know, a lot of us seem to believe that we're going through some things on our own and nobody else has gone through them. We have a tendency of putting that in, and I say in our spirit because of the fact that if it's just in our mind, you know, if we're just thinking about it, we can encourage ourselves to come up out of it sometimes. It don't happen all the time, but sometimes. But then when we put it in our spirit, it becomes a part of us. It literally becomes our makeup. Like, for instance, have you ever seen where somebody literally will just start, they're fine, they're doing well, everything is going well, everything seems to be doing great, everything seems to be, and soon as a little thing happens, they trip out. They totally trip out. I got to be honest with you. That's the real person. Yeah. That's the real person. That's the person who we don't get to see all the time. Have you ever got it to a point to where, or you, have you ever experienced to where somebody, you and another person have an argument, and the argument become very heated, and the person says some things to you that is totally crazy? That's the real person. Or when a person get drunk or get high, they start revealing the real person. You see, what God wants is for us to understand that regardless to what happened to us in our life or what did not happen to us in our lives, that we come to a point of saying, Father God, I trust you. All of the things that happened or did not happen caused me to trust, to have faith in you. Because, Father God, I come to understand this reality, and this is this. 1 Peter 4:12. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father God. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trials, which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened to you. But rejoice to the extent that you partake in Christ's suffering. See, we're not alone. We're not alone. Okay. That when his glory is revealed, you may also be glad with exceeding joy. If you are reproached for the name of Christ, the spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. On their part, he is blasphemed, but on your part, he is glorified. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, a thief, an evildoer, or as a busybody in other people's matters. I'm going to share something with you, not because of the fact that I'm supposed to be all holy or none of that crap, because surely not. Make big mistakes. Matter of fact, I should have the tattoo on my forehead that says, I make the biggest mistakes there are. Literally, I should have that tattooed on my head. But I come to understand this one reality about me. Whenever I go through anything, literally, you'll find that I have a very difficult time to breathe. Literally, you'll find that in my having a difficult time to breathe, I end up having to go to the hospital. And in my having to go to the hospital, 90% of the time they want to keep me. I'm telling you the God's honest truth. Soon as I have to get there, or soon as I get there, reality hits me and says, this problem is not that bad. Whatever it might have been, this problem is not that bad. Father, forgive me for not having complete faith in you at this, before I got to this point. Because, Father, this problem is not that bad, and I'm going to be okay. And I mean this with all of who I am. All of my vital signs go to normal. I mean that. And what I come to see is that the devil, Lord have mercy, when Jesus said that the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, he was telling the exact truth. The thief comes to steal, to kill, and destroy. Now, he will do so by way of having you lose your faith or distraction. See, you may have all the faith there is, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. which is beautiful. But if you become distracted, then your faith may not be that which you activate while you're going through the things in which you're going through. So what God wants us to understand is, don't be a faker, a shaker. Be real in this. And he's saying that not for his benefit, but for ours. Because what happens is when we don't allow ourselves to get distracted, when we don't allow our faith to be shaken, we stand so tall. We represent him so well. We're like a big, beautiful wall that protects the gospel on a level that says that you got to get through me to get to the gospel. You're going to have to bust me down to let somebody who's living in darkness to believe that the gospel doesn't work. You're going to have to work through me, because the reality is I come to see that Christ is greater in me, which enabled me to stand like a wall, than he is he that's in the world. And that's why I don't mind being a leaf. If you ever pay attention to leaves that's on a tree, when the wind blows, the leaf have no choice but to go with the flow. Has no choice but to go with the flow. And I say that with such a surety in my spirit. And the reason why, because we should be like that of a leaf. Because Jesus said, saying this of the Holy Spirit, no one knows where he comes or where he's going. No one knows where the wind is going to blow or where it's going to go. But the one thing that we know for sure, that as a leaf, we're going to find out where we're going to end up when we allow the Holy Spirit to take control of us. And we do that by enabling ourselves to simply be humble like that of a leaf, so that we can go wherever the wind blows. But if we are faking it, what happens is we become rigid when a problem comes. When the storms come, we become rigid. And you know what's so crazy? If you pay attention to why we wear seatbelts, you'll understand the damage that could be done when we are just flappantly moving around. When we allow the Holy Spirit to hold us, what happens is we are well protected. We might get some dents, might get some bumps, but wherever he takes us, we're going to be okay. But when we allow ourselves to not be under the protection of the Holy Spirit, then we're thrown all over the place. God said you're like the wave of the sea, tossed to and fro. That's why he said, I'm paraphrasing now, don't be the fakers and the shakers. Don't act like you got this thing going on when you're not practicing the word of God. As a matter of fact, let's go to James 1:22, okay? James 1:22. Just this help. Thank you, Father God. James 1:22. But be hearers of the word and not, thank you, Father God, my apology, but be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourself. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. when you know that you are a man or woman of God, because you practice it, because it became a part of you. So when now it's time for life to squeeze you, the real beautiful Christ come out of you. You don't forget who you are in Christ. You stand and say, this is it. It's going to be okay today. I understand it's going to be, I know it's going to be hard, but it's okay because I know my Father got me. He already clipped the Holy Spirit to protect me. He's made it possible for me to give him glory. Now that I have allowed my faith in him to travel with me, I'm getting to know more about him. And the more that I get to know about him, the greater my faith. Because he always brings me through every ounce of what I got to go through. It doesn't matter what it is. So, okay, the lights is out, the gas is out, the paper's on the door, everybody's on scene, I feel embarrassed a little bit. But you know what? It's going to be okay. Oh, man, I just lost my job. Okay, my best friend or my girlfriend or boyfriend, whoever, has left me, but it's going to be okay. Wow, I'm living in a park. It's going to be okay. Oh, wow, I'm escalated from a park to a shelter. Wait a minute, things are looking up because I was in a park. Now I'm in a shelter. Father God, thank you. Give you glory. I'm feeling like dancing because now I'm in a shelter. Father God, now I know because I understand what Paul was talking about when he said that when I'm hungry, I can abound. When I'm poor, I can abound. When I'm rich, I can be humble. I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. So, Father God, I want to say thank you because now that I'm in a shelter, I'm looking forward to the next escalation, the next elevation. Because, Father God, I know that you're going to make it so that I can have a place once again that I can call our own, not my own, but our own. So while you're taking care of me, Father God, and take care of some other people, I don't have much to give. I don't have, maybe I don't have anything to give. But somebody don't know about you. Somebody is going through something. Somebody has left the faith. Somebody. Because what we end up actually doing is duplicating what Jesus did for us. Because he knew he came down here to die. And when the time came for him to do so, he did so without fail. He did say, Father, if it, let this cup pass. But immediately said, let it be your will and not my own. So that we can have the ability to actually say, I want to be like that. I seen a commercial the other day, and it's a commercial about Michael Jordan. I want to be like Mike. I remember when I used to see that commercial piece. Man, because I'm very happy about Michael Jordan. But to have the ability to actually say, I want to be like Jesus, to actually be like him. I'm not talking about learning about him because that's not being him. I'm not talking about you read about him so that you can learn about him. I'm not talking about that because you don't get to know him. I'm talking about walking with him, carrying that cross with him so that you can have the ability to say, Father God, now I understand what it is to have faith in you because everything that you've ever done had to do with showing your love, protecting me, showing me, giving me courage to stand up and handle this. Not like a little child, but like a man, like a woman. I can do this. But see, this is what happens when you don't do this. Let's go here. Let's just check this out for a second. James. Whew, Father God. Thank you, Father God. But we're going to stay in James, and we're going to go to, let me see, I think it's 5 if I'm not right. No. Let's go to 7. 4, let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man all his ways. But now check this out. Let's go down to 12. Let's check this out. Let's pay attention to 12. Blessed is the man who endures some temptation, for when he has been proved, himself, he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him. Who do you love? Now, I'm going to give you a small definition of God's way of us loving him. Who do you call on first when whatever happened? Do you call on cocaine? Do you call on beer, liquor, woman, man, clothes? Do you call on what? What, who, what? What do you call on? See, because that which you call on is that which you depend on, and that which you depend on is actually the definition of love, even though it is a foreign love. But when you call on the name of Jesus, when you allow yourself the ability to say, I got this. Father God, I got this. Let's handle that. Let's handle this. Okay, Father God, I understand. The lights is out. The gas is out. The notice on the door. I got to move. I called the job. The job said, I ain't got no more job. And called my friend to just have somebody to talk to. And they told me that, don't call me no more. I'm sick of you. Oh, Father God, I got this. It's going to be okay. Why? Because the reality is this here. And this is my favorite verse. Thank you, Father God, for giving it to me. This is Romans 5 and 5. Check this out. Why? Why? I just have to say why. Because the reality is this here. 5 and 5. Now, hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. But let's not stop here. Let's go to Hebrews. Okay? God is feeling really, really good. He wants to share some things with you so that we can all understand that if we don't fake it, if we allow ourselves to actually live it, to truly live it, then we'll be successful. We'll be successful in whatever we do. And I mean that with every ounce of who I am. Let's go to Hebrews 5. Let's start at 13, if I am correct. I might be wrong, but let's see. Let me see. No, I'm wrong. 13, 5 and 6. Thank you, Father God, for helping me. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for, please excuse me, brother. Please excuse me, brothers and sisters. Let your conduct be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have. For he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So, it didn't stop there, though. It goes here. It says, so, this is 6, so, may we boldly say, the Lord is my helper, I will not fear. What can man do to me? Anything down on the face of this earth do to me that shake me up to the point to where I will not give my Father in heaven glory. So he can look and say, and you, I am well pleased. God bless y'all, man. I love y'all so much. Have a good night. He so allow me. I'll talk to you tomorrow. Take care. Bye-bye.